their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, in all times I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issues each and every day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Truth Book. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. In John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made a profound statement. I believe it's worth understanding and applying today. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, a declaratory statement is made. In John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of the Lord. In fact, in Psalm 117, verse 2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. May I say to you, as we examine issues locally, nationally, internationally, and globally, may I say to you, it is so vital today to view those issues, those occurrences, those events, through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We're going to talk about today a very serious issue that I believe is worth our attention and analysis. America needs to turn back to the Ten Commandments. America needs to turn back to the Ten Commandments, or you could reverse it. Do we as a nation need to turn back to the Ten Commandments? We pass laws in the local governmental bodies, the state after state, and on the national level, hundreds of thousands of new laws each and every year. But yet we see the exponential increase in mass murders. We see the exponential increase in rapes, robberies, carjackings, burglaries, and I could go on and on and on with the chaos that is taking place across the globe and here in the United States of America. Could it be that these laws are inconsequential if we do not have the fundamental, foundational, basic 10 that God gave us in His Word? And second question that I want you to ponder, is it possible that we're witnessing our governmental agencies, state, local, national governmental agencies, that have abandoned anything that's called morals, ethics, and values that's inculcated in our Ten Commandments that God has given us? As we look at America today, it doesn't take a genius, I believe, to determine that there's something radically wrong with our nation. We see crimes increasing across the nation. Mass murders out of control. Schools are now incubators for pedophiles and perverts that prey on our innocent little children. And I could go on and on and on. We're going to talk about that today, along with some other vital issues that I believe are interconnected to the question, should America turn back to the Ten Commandments? Is it too late? Can we, in fact, reverse action and turn back to God and see things turn around in our nation? Or is it too late? Is God already judging America to the point where turning back would be absolutely vacuous and void. We want to hear from you today. We're going to introduce our very special guest in a moment after we've had a few words by way of introduction and brief monologue. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the scripture. And may I say to you that it is the truth book, and many times we have those that refuse to acknowledge truth, refuse to embrace truth, refuse to recognize truth. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factual today. If I might say, it is factually true today as we've seen it. And I believe it is part and parcel because of a major, major, major mindset that prevails in America today. In fact, the latest survey shows that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, the 55% think that each person determines their own version of truth. It's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, to have more than one version of truth. Truth is truth without any nuances, without any different versions. But yet we see those that are seeking truth to have the mindset that everybody has his own truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warned us that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. DeMint said, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches, Jim DeMint said. This is the reason I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I challenge us each and every day on this broadcast that we do that very thing. Seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn, love, tell, live, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe we're on the very edge of seeing an entire nation, an entire culture that will be persecuted and prosecuted, tracked and trailed until one is found and then is persecuted and prosecuted for telling the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a good benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with the Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Just drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're watching our governmental agencies and everything to do with the Biden administration eviscerating our Ten Commandments. And by the way, if you want to read those, if you're driving, don't stop your car and try to do so. But in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, beginning with verse 3, we find the Ten Commandments succinctly outlined. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're watching today the government, our U.S. government, local and state governments, many of them, simply abolishing denying, refusing to acknowledge the Ten Commandments whatsoever. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we have watched America turn our backs on God and God's Word. The Ten Commandments need to be returned to. Why is that so? Because our present governmental system has expelled God, denied God's Word, and now fully, if you please, confronting all of the ideals of the Ten Commandments. I'll go through just two or three, and then we'll introduce our guest today. But I'm looking at an article by news reporter online that has done a good job over the many, many years, since 1997, in fact. It says, America needs the Ten Commandments again. This is written by Joseph Farrow with WorldNet Daily News. America has turned from God and has forgotten right and wrong. But it's even worse. The Lord is showing us that in no uncertain terms, the same nation that was founded on the Ten Commandments is now experiencing some of its worst divine judgments ever as a result of falling away so profoundly. Half the nation is officially marginalized and demonized. Violent criminals are pampered while the innocent are arrested and incarcerated. The way we wave the rainbow flag, not in celebration of our Creator, but as a grotesque insult to Him. We maim and mutilate our children and obsessants to false gods. We sacrifice babies, the unborn and even the born, to convenience. We demonize and cancel good, decent American citizens, and even indict the last president of the United States of America for no legitimate reason, but only because some people fear he will win the election again. The problem is acute, not just because there's so many atheists, agnostics, and non-believers, and cults, and ideological crazies in today's America, not to mention all the psychopath elites. The deeper problem America has is with those who call themselves Christian believers who act no differently than the worldliest individuals on the planet. You can call these people false converts, backsliders, pretenders, or undisciplined nominal believers, but what they all have in common is that they're not living in obedience to God and His Word. They're not even trying to follow the most basic moral laws as Jesus and the biblical prophets all instructed, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that sets the stage for where we are in America today. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, yet abortion is on demand, being pushed by the Biden administration, paid for by federal tax dollars. Honor thy father and mother, Exodus 20:12. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, the federal government now believes that they, not the parents, have full authority over the nation's children. Biden is pushing the trans surgeries on the preteens and the teenagers without parental knowledge or consent. Thou shalt not steal, Exodus 20:15. But the entire Biden tax system is designed, ladies and gentlemen, to steal from those that are working hard and give to the laziest non-workers and illegal aliens coming into America. And I could go on and on and on, right down the list of the Ten Commandments of what the Bible says and what we're seeing in our federal, state, and local governments that's totally eviscerating anything that will be called the Ten Commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, it's obvious today that the goal, single goal of the Biden administration is to destroy our constitutional republic. We find, ladies and gentlemen, no other explanation can be given. No other explanation can be recognized. I'm going to read a brief blurb from one other article, and then we'll introduce our guest today. Xi and Putin shaped the new world order, and the White House is totally clueless. That's a headline. Few people in the United States noticed a tectonic development that took place in the world in recent days. The reason is it was missed was because our news media is clueless, obsessed by other things, and big tech shapes their views. No one noticed that something fundamentally changed. What was it? Chinese President Xi and Russian President Vladimir Putin set their sights on shaping a new world order that was the big change that evaded all of us. Joe Biden didn't comment on it. Democrats in the U.S. didn't comment. But it was one of the most amazing and ominous geopolitical developments in the past 100 years. As Xi departed Moscow, he told Putin, now there are changes that haven't happened. There are these changes that haven't happened in 100 years. When we get together, we drive these changes. I agreed, Putin said, to which Xi responded, take care of yourself, dear friend, please. Further in the article says, Ukraine is insignificant. It's small potatoes. A Russia-China alliance is everything Xi solidified in that alliance. Xi and Putin referred to each other as dear friends, promised economic cooperation, described their country's relation as the best they'd ever been. Putin said on Kremlin's website, quote, we're working in solidarity on the formation of a more just and democratic multipolar world order, which should be based on the central role of the United Nations, its Security Council, international law, and the purposes and principles of the UN United Nations Charter, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching a denigration and a deterioration of the Constitutional Republic in the United States of America. And that includes a total evisceration of the foundation of America. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe that we need to seek God. We need to pray, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. That's quoted. That's a paraphrase from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, by the way. But ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today a special guest that we have the privilege of having the conversation with on a number of occasions each and every month, and I'm thankful to have him with us today. We have, ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Mike Hill, former representative for District 1 in the state of Florida. And we're thankful for Congressman Hill's taking time out of his busy schedule to join with us on this broadcast today. And let's talk about some of these things that are taking place and what he believes we're seeing and why and how we are to view them. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome today, Congressman Mike Hill. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be on your show.
Well, I am thankful that you take time out. I know your schedule is busy, busy, busy. I know I've searched for a day stretcher for the past less than 100 years and can't find one. My bride says, by the way, Congressman Hill, that God gave us nighttime because I will not stop each day until it gets dark. And she says, God gave us day and night, gave us night so that you'd find a place and time to rest. But I'm thankful for the privilege that we have of serving the Lord through what we do and what you do. And I'm thankful for you and for your insight and your wisdom. You've heard my basic monologue. What are your thoughts in relationship to that? Is this wrong? Am I on target or off target?
No, you're exactly on target, Dr. Youngblood. You know, what we see happening around us today is reminiscent of how Moses described the world in the days of Noah, that there was wickedness that was abounding everywhere, that people had rejected God completely, and God was sorry they had even made man. And we are seeing that around us everywhere we look, where not only in nations such as Russia and China, which have rejected God as part of their governmental system, we are seeing it here in the United States. We're seeing it in Christendom, that many governments are deciding to reject God and instead replace the state with God. This is what I would say about the whole Russia-China agreement, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, it won't last. And secondly, it is not sustainable. Why? Because those two nations have shared a border for thousands of years. Have they ever come together in a meaningful and long-lasting way? No, never. And why is that? Because both nations are run by evil people. Both nations are run by selfish people who do not care what happens to the rest of their citizens as long as they live a life of luxury. And any government that is set up like that cannot be a world leader, cannot be an economic leader, because they are oppressive to the people. The people are not free. And that is the only way prosperity happens, is when the people are free. And what we are seeing in the United States is a regime that has been installed that is made up of a cabal of very selfish people. They don't care what happens to the United States as long as they can live their life of luxury. Here is Biden, who has seen what has happened to Obama after Obama left office. He's living this tremendous life of luxury on Martha's Vineyard, on his huge estate. He's living like a king. Everything is brought to him. He goes wherever he wants, whenever he wants. He sees the likes of Hillary and Bill Clinton came from public life to live this life of luxury as if they're kings and queens, waited on hand and foot. He sees the likes of John Kerry married into money, living this life of luxury, and they try to impose their will on others, not caring what the outcome could mean because they have theirs. We see the likes of Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi, you know, that they don't care what their dictates are that hurt the people because they have theirs. They are sitting on their wealth. They don't care about anyone else. It is an extreme example of selfishness in action. And we see the Biden family right now. They want to partake in that. That's why they are thieves, stealing right now. All members of his family are involved. It's not just Hunter and Joe Biden. It's brothers and other relatives. We find now that there are at least 12 other Biden associates, family members, who are taking part in this theft of not only the U.S. coffers, but also around the world, where they are taking this money, building it up for themselves so they can live a life of luxury, not caring about anyone else. It is selfishness on display.
Congressman Hill, I don't think I could have articulated the facts any more succinctly than you have just completed in your statement. I'm looking at an article that basically says that Dr. James Dobson and many you as well as our listeners will know him. Dr. James Dobson warns Biden has a plan to destroy America's sovereignty. Dr. Dobson, who has advised a long list of presidents on faith issues and founded the James Dobson Family Institute and Family Talk on radio, is warning America that Joe Biden's plan is to completely destroy the nation's sovereignty. Further in the article, it says he is warning the UN's World Health Organization. Now he's warning, this is a statement, the UN World Health Organization wants complete control over your mind and your body, and Biden is willing to help, end quote. Open quote, I'm writing you today to warn of an imminent and real threat to the sovereignty of our nation. Two of our founding fathers, President George Washington, President Thomas Jefferson, counseled America against forming misaligned alliances with foreign entities, especially those who do not share our allegiance to the principles that formed our great American Republic. Yet the Biden administration is on the verge of doing just that by turning the keys of self-governance over to the World Health Organization. And Dr. Dobson says this, and mark my word, if America gives up on its sovereign rule as a nation, we could well lose the sweet land of liberty and effectively forsake every generation that has fought and died for it. God help us if we let this happen on our watch. He explained that the JDFI, that is the James Dobson Family Institute, board member Michelle Bachmann, a former member of Congress, appeared with him on a program to talk about the threat. Bachmann, now the dean of the Pat Robertson School of Government at Regent University, has clear understanding of the threat. In the broadcast, she explained, Biden is working to give the WHO, World Health Organization, decision-making authority over the U.S. and the rest of the nations around the globe. The Biden administration is proposing amendments that would transfer the sovereign authority of every nation to make decisions over health care. And the article goes on and on. It's a five-page article. So, Congressman, my question is, do you see on the horizon a time in America in the very near future that we will have no sovereignty because it will have been signed over by the Biden administration as a result of being a Chinese puppet in total control of China, and as a result of the World Health Organization being basically a puppet of the Chinese Communist Party and Joe Biden signing it over. You see, in the very near future, lest God intervenes, that we will lose our sovereignty as a nation. And what do you think? What do you say? What is your opinion as to what we conservatives, Christians, and patriots ought to do?
Dr. Youngblood, we saw a preview of it with the entire COVID debacle. We saw that the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, and China, it came from China, released this disease on the rest of the world, and we were locked down. The United States went into a lockdown mode, start with the president, and went down to almost every single state. There were a few states that resisted. You know, there was South Dakota, never did lock down. I think there were one or two others. I was shocked when DeSantis locked down the state of Florida because I thought he was one of those who would resist it. But Florida was in lockdown mode for a good 6 months, half a year. Thousands of businesses went out of business. People lost jobs. The economy tanked. It was utterly amazing to watch as people would line up to get this experimental jab. I can speak for myself, Dr. Youngblood, and I know you haven't either because of our previous conversations. I did not take the jab and will not take
absolutely
the jab.
Amen and amen.
Circumstances. And we saw, you know, where America gave up its sovereignty based on a fear tactic that started with the World Health Organization and spread throughout the nation. People were afraid to leave their homes. To go shopping, you had to walk in a certain direction on the aisles. By the way, I intentionally walked against those arrows just to prove a point. But here we see the nation, based on fear, allowed the government to just shut us down. That was a prelude to what we could see if we allow the government to take over our sovereignty. We are a United States, many 50 different states making up one federal nation, where we have loaned power to the federal government, but many have forgotten the 10th Amendment saying that the power belongs to the states and to the people, and we have given too much power to the federal government. We need to pull it back so that we can see things happening like in the state of Florida, where our economy is booming, where things are going well, and they could go better except for some Republicans in name only who are passing legislation which is hurting this state instead of helping us.
Absolutely. Congressman, hold your thought there, and we've got another caller on the line. We'll take one moment with him, but our time is about up for the top of the hour news. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. How you doing, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing well, I pray that you are. We've got about 40 seconds, Kenneth, if you would. Well, okay. Ask your question, and we'll go
I'm
from there.
I'm going to answer a question about, did you hear on the news about if a minor consents to have sex with an older person?
Well, what you're talking about is the proposal by the UN that will make it legal on a global basis for the adult to have sex with a minor on the basis that the minor can consent. And that's an impossibility. It is my prayer that somehow, some way, that will be eviscerated and will not become international law. But as it stands now, it's being pushed by the United Nations. So all we can do is pray that God will prevent it, that we will have some sense of and some idea of preservation of our young people without unleashing the pedophiles and the perverts on them as we have already done in our schools. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll continue our conversation with Congressman Mike Hill right after the news.
Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. A Texas manhunt for Mexican national Francisco Oropeza, accused of fatally shooting five of his neighbors, including an 8-year-old boy in Cleveland, Texas, about 40 miles northeast of Houston. Damage assessment and cleanup underway in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where powerful storms hit yesterday, a suspected tornado damaging as many as 100 homes. Dozens of trees were uprooted, power lines brought down, but no immediate reports of any injuries. Times are tough in Cuba, so much so the ruling communist dictatorship has had to cancel one of its highest-profile public displays. There will be no May Day parade this year. Ukrainian officials say that Russia launched its second large salvo of missiles at Ukraine in recent days, at least 34 people wounded in the attacks. On Wall Street, the Dow up 62 points. This is SRN News.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, does America need to turn back to the Ten Commandments? Now, I realize that's a rudimentary, fundamental, elemental question, and I realize it's a profound question, a far-reaching question in its essence, but the question remains, should we do so? And I do that, I ask that question in view of the fact that on a national level, this was 3 years ago, the survey then was that on a national level, we introduced and passed legislation, local, state, and national. We introduced and passed about 250,000 new laws every year. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, with the stacking of laws and laws and laws and more laws, it doesn't seem to have any effect on the crime, the denigration, the decay of the morals, ethics, and values in America. So I believe we need to turn back to the 10 basic laws that you find in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 and following. We call them the 10 commandments. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is needful and necessary that we recognize them and restore them. In fact, there's some legislators in some state levels today in America that are restoring the requirement for 10 commandments to be posted in our public schools. And I believe that is vital and necessary for us today. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, and Congressman Hill and I were talking just before the news break about what is taking place with the World Health Organization and the potential through the Biden administration of turning over America's sovereignty to the World Health Organization. And WHO, the World Health Organization, is simply a puppet, a pawn for the Communist Chinese Party. So as we look at that, Congressman, I've got a question, and I'm going to take a moment and set the stage. Senate Bill 222, just introduced in the state of Florida, in the Florida Senate, and it may or may not have already been vetoed by the governor. He said he was going to. It's an act relating to the protection of medical freedom. And I'm just going to read, and I've read the a 26-page bill, and I'm going to just read for our listeners and for your edification, for me to then ask a question, the major points in it. This bill, called the Relate an Act Protecting the Medical Freedom, it's prohibiting the Department of Health from requiring enrollment in any state immunization registry. Secondly, it prohibits immunization tracking. Thirdly, it prohibits a person's records going to the feds without the patient's authorization and consent first. It prohibits government from requiring individuals from having to provide proof of vaccinations. It prohibits educational institutions from regulating and requiring students to be vaccinated. It prevents health care agencies and physicians from refusing health care unless you're vaccinated. It prohibits employers from refusing employment or firing an employee due to having no vaccination. Literally, vaccination immunity is what it boils down to. So, Congressman, my question, from your past legislative experience and your knowledge of what is happening in the state of Florida, why would Governor DeSantis refuse to authorize this kind of proposed law?
That is very perplexing. And now he won't have to oppose this law because there's been a strike all amendment to this bill filed by Senator Colleen Burton. It is now Senate Bill 252, which gives the governor ultimate authority. It says that we can do these things unless the governor decides that he doesn't want to. A very dangerous move that is being done by this Republican-led legislature. Senator Colleen Burton, I'm familiar with because we served in the House together. And I'm not trying to be mean, but number one, she's not that bright. And she does what she is told. She never would have brought this strike all amendment forward. One, because she's not smart enough to think it up herself. But she wouldn't have done it unless the Senate president gave her approval to get it done, who would not have brought it forward unless the governor, DeSantis, said he wanted it done. It's a very dangerous place that we are moving right now, trying to give this governor that much power. And while we're on that subject, Dr. Youngblood, we also have a Florida legislature. It has passed both the House and the Senate now. It's ready for the governor's signature that will allow him to run for president without having to resign his position as governor. Currently, our law states that if you run for another office in Florida, you must resign your current position. But what this legislature is doing for one person, for Governor DeSantis, is they are waiving only the portion that says if you're running for president or vice president, then you don't have to resign. But anyone else who's running for office in Florida for another position would still have to resign. They're doing this. You think, okay, why would they do this? First of all, they're doing it because they are not true conservatives, that they do not understand our Constitution and fully what it means or what their oath of office to that Constitution, where they swore they would protect and defend it, what that means. They're clueless about it because they've never thought deep enough about it. And so they also would not have brought this forward unless the governor wanted them to, because originally it was set up to where if Governor DeSantis was going to run for president or vice president, he was going to have to resign his position as governor. And that was going to make a number of people in Florida upset who worked very hard to get him elected as governor. They like him as governor, and they want him to serve his commitment for 4 years and wait until 2028 to run for president. But his ambition to want to run for president now is so strong that he has indicated he wants this bill passed. He wants a bill that will allow him to run for president or vice president and still keep his position as governor. What's wrong with that? Because now we as Florida taxpayers are going to be paying his salary. We're going to be paying for him to travel around the country to campaign as president, when instead he should be doing that on his own and using the money that he has already collected for that purpose.
Congressman Hill, I am vitally concerned. I've said, and you've heard me say, and multitudes on this listening and this listening audience has heard me say, I do not want Ron DeSantis to run for president. At the very max, he might get 20% across the board vote or votes for the presidential candidacy. Whereas if he were to wait until 2028, he'd have a clean slate to be an open candidacy for him to run for the president of the United States and have a good shot at it. We're going to watch two candidates, former President Donald J. Trump, present Governor Ron DeSantis, eviscerate each other publicly on a national scene, only to find that President Trump will be the, I believe, the candidate that will be the one on the ballot running against whoever the Democratic nominee will be. But it will divide the state of Florida. It will eviscerate Ron DeSantis and will cripple him as governor for the balance of his term that we've elected him for. It will open the doors in the near future for the state of Florida to have a rhino rather than a real Republican conservative, or a total out-and-out socialist Marxist Democrat as the governor of the state of Florida, which will destroy all the freedoms that we have accumulated in our state. I'm concerned about that. And I'm concerned about the fact that we see our governor that says he's for medical freedom, that is now reversed course of action. I can call it nothing but a total reversal of his public stand on protecting the Floridians from being forced to take a vaccination. In fact, I recommend, Congressman Hill, that our listeners jot the number down. 850, this is the governor's office, 850-717-9337. 850-717-9337. And ask the governor to please, please, please revisit Senate Bill 222 and sign it into law. We do not need to be put in a position that the governor alone will make that decision. It may be, Congressman, correct me if I'm wrong, it may be okay to have the governor in charge of making that decision if we have Ron DeSantis or someone like him in office. But what does it do when that office holder changes and we have I call it a loose likes lost liberal, a socialist, Marxist, communist, BLM, Democratic Party individual that's in charge? What do we do then? It destroys our medical freedom in the state of Florida. And I, as you, have made the decision, I'm a no vaxxer 100%. I'm a no masker 100%. I'm a no lockdowner 100%. Because we found that that did not work. In fact, Congressman, respond to this. You may have read it or be familiar with it. Emperor Fauci has just said that perhaps lockdowns were a mistake. Secondly, Emperor Fauci has just admitted, and he's lying about it, he said he never said that schools should close down. He never one time ordered that schools be locked down. He never one time said that students could not go to school during COVID. He is now even saying that we realize that masks are not really viable. All of this is being said now that he's no longer in charge, and he sees himself in a bind with future interrogation by the intelligence committees out of the House and the Senate, where he may be, or in fact should be, prosecuted for mass murder, is my opinion. What are your thoughts on that?
Dr. Youngblood, here's this Anthony Fauci who is doing nothing more than lying. He's using the Democrat playbook that you just simply lie, you deny, and you say it often and you say it enough times and people will believe it. That's how the left operates. They will say a lie with a straight face and run with that. We almost had, as our governor in Florida, that drug-using sodomite, Andrew Gillum, as our governor. Now, imagine if he were in charge, what those lockdowns would have looked like in Florida. A lot of, like, we don't have to imagine. We saw it happening in Michigan and in New York and in California, and the disaster that it brought. We could have had that here in Florida. And so now we have a legislature, in their very short-sightedness, giving that kind of power to declare whether or not lockdowns will continue, to declare whether or not you can even sue a hospital or a doctor because of how you were mistreated, the malpractice that they performed. And we saw it on full display during this whole COVID debacle, where people were killed in hospitals because of their protocols that they had with remdesivir and the ventilators. And the Florida legislature, a Republican-controlled legislature, passed on to DeSantis, who signed into law, that they could not be sued because of this malpractice. And recently, I understand, it was supposed to expire, this be able to sue them this June. And I think they extended it for another year. And so we don't have to imagine if we had somebody other than Ron DeSantis who would act as a dictator that hurts people. We see it in action now. So even if DeSantis is the governor, it doesn't mean he's going to always make the right decisions. About what's going on with our health care or anything else. He can make mistakes. He can be influenced by money, by power, and running for office and still make the same mistakes.
Absolutely. Congressman, let's switch gears for just a moment. I'm looking at the headline. It says, QAnon shaman files motion to vacate conviction. Due process rights were clearly violated. This article reads in part, perhaps the most recognizable January the 6th defendant, the QAnon shaman, 35 years age, has filed a motion to vacate his conviction just 1 month after he was released from federal custody and sent to a halfway house. Chansley, that's his real name, was sentenced to 41 months, but he was released from federal prison March after just 27 months, according to the report. The Bureau of Prisons may opt to allow a well-behaved federal inmate to serve his final 12 months of his sentence at a halfway house. Federal inmates serve for 12 months since the halfway house. Chansley, originally from Arizona, has been living at a halfway house in Phoenix for the past several weeks. The article goes on. His lawyers are now saying that he was deprived of all of the information that the feds had supposedly against him. And here's the key. When Tucker Carlson released the video showing that the shaman, i.e. Chansley, the man's name, did not break anything, did not harm anyone, was not a danger in the Capitol. In fact, the Capitol Police walked him through, escorted him, opened the doors for him, even for him to go on the House floor and have an open prayer. And now he's been released because of that video. Now, my question is this, twofold. Do you believe that we have now some 1,000-plus federal political prisoners called the January the 6th rioters? And secondly, do you believe that the Tucker Carlson release of the videos is one of the reasons that Tucker Carlson was fired from Fox News?
Oh, there's an awful lot in there that you just brought forward, Dr. Youngblood. And I agree with you on all issues. What's amazing is that this one gentleman, Chancellor, whatever his name is, who is now wanting his sentence to be vacated, and that's so that he can get a job, because otherwise he would be still a convicted felon, and you have to put that on every application, and people don't want to hire you then, so he wants it vacated. But not only him, but every single one of those January 6th political prisoners should be freed, and that their sentences should be vacated if we have a just and righteous judicial system That is what should happen. And I will go one step further. These judges who intentionally did not allow the defense to bring forward all of the evidence showing that they were not part of an insurrection, these judges should be impeached. Mm-hmm. And they can be impeached for bad behavior. It was behavior that was not adhering to the rule of law and what should have been done during each of those trials. I have a personal friend right now who was a Marine, United States Marine veteran, who went up there and was simply just videoing what was happening. The FBI came in a very early morning raid, took all of his personal equipment, not just the camera he had up there, but all the equipment in his home that he uses as a make income for his family, took it all, went to D.C. for a trial, was sentenced to 18 months in prison, and he is in prison right now. Mm. He should not be. He's a political prisoner, and I haven't heard everyone touts about how great DeSantis is. I haven't heard DeSantis say one time, free those political prisoners, because there are more people from Florida who are in prison right now than any other state. And I haven't heard him say a word about any of that. And I've only heard Trump mention it a few times, and that's only recently. And that's probably because he hears it so much when he goes on these rallies all over the place. What point did I not cover, Dr. Youngblood? Refresh my memory real quick.
You're on target with that. I'm getting to subsidiary question to that, secondary to the actual question about Tucker Carlson. Do you believe it's the reason Tucker Carlson was released from Fox News? But at the same time, I'll ask another question based on what you've just brought to the forefront. Why are we not hearing a hue and cry from all Republicans to release those prisoners? Why is there silence in D.C. and the D.C. Beltway? I understand the silence from the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. I understand the silence. I don't understand the silence from any of our or all of our Republican leadership, Kevin McCarthy and others. They're saying nothing about these men rotting away in a federal prison with not having their needs being met physically or medically, and basically withering away as political prisoners. Why are we hearing crickets? So that's a twofold question for you, Congressman. Is this the reason Tucker Carlson was fired? What is your opinion on that? And why are we not hearing from our Republican leaders a hue and cry to release those political prisoners?
Well, I'll say, Dr. Youngblood, I don't believe it was because of those videos that was the sole reason why Tucker Carlson was let go from Fox News. And the reason why I say that is after he released that first batch of videos, he had a lot more, but he didn't release any of that. Why? Because Fox News wouldn't let him. Mm-hmm. So he didn't so for them to release him because of that initial batch that went out, I don't think that was the case. And in fact, as you know, you put those shows together, those broadcasts together that he does, that's not done in a vacuum. There were others who saw what he was going to do, but it wasn't until the effect of that, which hit so hard that he was told he could not release any more. Here's the thing. Tucker Carlson is not the only one who owns those videos. Mm-hmm. Those videos, Kevin McCarthy released to him, but Tucker doesn't own them now. He's not the sole proprietor of those. Those videos can still be given to anyone else to release. Why hasn't that been done?
Yes.
That is my question. And so why have the Republicans been so silent about these political prisoners there? It's because they are showing their true colors. They don't want Trump back either. And so they're sending a message to leave them in prison, sending a message to Trump supporters that if you try anything like this again, this is what's going to happen to you. And the reason why they don't want Trump back is because Trump is such a dominating force when he gets to Washington, D.C., that they won't matter at all. McCarthy, McConnell, they won't matter because Trump is such a dominating force. They tried to stop him at every turn when he was President McConnell. And at that time, McCarthy was minority whip and couldn't do anything anyway. But they were hardly mentioned because Trump was always mentioned first, and they hated that. They loved their position of power and control, and so they are sending a signal to all of Trump's supporters. Don't you dare try to pull another trick like this again, showing your support in such a strong way, or you'll end up in prison too. That's why they're not saying anything about those political prisoners who are there, and they should be. Every Republican there should be demanding their release almost every time they open their mouth.
I'm exactly on the same page as you are. Congressman Hill, hold your thought there a minute. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Greetings to you and Congressman Hill. The powers of satanic, powers of darkness is at work, operating in our midst. This morning I listened to David Jeremiah, and I hope that he was dealing with socialism. He spoke out plainly about it this morning, and today and tomorrow he will be dealing with socialism, speaking out plainly. Thank God for him. And my idea is that America would not reach where it reached if the pastors and the believers had stood up to their position. We are right now, I agree with you that the governor, this center shouldn't jump in the race. He has a young family. He's young, and his future, he has a good future. If he shouldn't jump in the race. But from day one, there are people, the rhinos, we call them, whoever, operating in the Republican Party, who are not really true conservatives. From day one, they start instigating and pushing him, setting him up to do it. And he's not really want to do it, but because he's being pushed and they're working towards that. And this is exactly right. This is exactly what the forces of evil want. I think what we're talking about here now, releasing the video and things like that, I think spinelessness is one of the big things with the conservative Republicans. They run away. To me, I see a lot of the Republicans, and especially the Rand, run away from the whole idea of the fraudulent election in 2020. They're scared to death of it, to me. And that is why things reach, even why Fox and the pod had to pay and things, because they are scared to even admit or face it. You know, it to me, it's so glaring that this election was fraudulent, and yet they are afraid. They are, really? And this is why they begin to splinter up. And instead of supporting Trump and standing behind him to get him back to do his second term, they end up.
Lily, let me jump in. I sort of have to cut you off. Time is about out, but you're exactly right, Lily. Thank you so much. Keep looking up and have a blessed day. Congressman, we got about 20 seconds left. Let's take the balance of that, if you would, please, and challenge our listeners. Don't be frightened. Don't be fearful that we need to stand up and fight for our liberties and our freedoms and what we need to do as Christians.
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. And call Governor DeSantis' office and tell him to not sign that bill that takes away our medical freedom. Senate Bill 252, which was a strike all to Senate Bill 222, which gave us that freedom. I would encourage your listeners to call his office and to urge him to not sign that bill.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester.